This is Electric Sisterhood podcast episode number 204. You didn't hear that. Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to yet another episode of the ESH podcast, folks.
And that's how we did intros in February, at the beginning of the year. It's crazy. Crazy. We don't sound like that anymore. But we do sound like this, which is a little bit different than what you're used to hearing, because this is a clip show. That's right. Episode 204, you didn't hear that, basically is our trying to recover from celebrating Panda's birthday and 4th of July and Cuervo. But we've got lots of interesting little nuggets that we've been stockpiling away for just an occasion. So make sure that you listen to the entire episode, that you hit us up on our website, electricsisterhood.com. You can use a short address, which is esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. It will get you to our long address, so you can check out the stuff that we're writing here at ESH Prime. But we've got more things going on, because if you haven't been following me on Twitter or the rest of the ESH and B3 crews and Geek Aggro, then what is wrong with you? We just launched Electric Sisterhood magazine. It's so full of awesome sauce. It's great. So you need to make sure that you cop that. You can visit our kind of portal, which is landofesh.com, landofesh.com. And you can see more information about the magazine issue. You can download a primer PDF so you can get a sample of what it is that you're going to be in for. And then you can fork over your cash, actually digital cash, because that's what credit is, and buy either an individual issue or you can get a 6-issue subscription. You can save your dollars. And get 6 issues, $36. It's shipped to your door. It's craziness. And if you get a subscription, you can choose whether you want the print version or print and PDF. So that way, for those in the know that have mobile devices that can view PDFs, now you can take the freshness, eshness with you. It's so crazy. Buy it. Seriously. You should also listen to the other podcasts coming out of our camps in the land of Esh. So you've got our shows, which come out on typically every Monday. And then following us up on Tuesday is a brand spanking new episode of the Boston Bass Brigade, co-hosted by our very own King Baby Duck. And then on Wednesday, smoothing out the groove, there's an episode of Geek Aggro, which you can find at geekaggro.com, co-hosted by our very own Deuces Wild. So bing, bang, boom, we got your podcast goodness covered right up to the hump day. And then getting you through the rest of the week, well, there's all the stuff that we write on our respective websites, which you can find at landofesh.com, all the new-ish freshness popping up over there, and visiting each of our individual websites. We also got the stuff that we do on Twitter, so if you're not following us there, just hit the landofesh.com and you can find out whose Twitter is whose and start following all of us so you don't get left out of any of the nerdy conversations that are going on amongst the team. And believe me, it's happening. We're kind of nerdy. So with that, I guess that's all the pimpage I have. Enjoy episode 204. You didn't hear that. All right, so in this segment of You Didn't Hear That, we have some things that we don't want to take. Well, maybe we want to take back, but we definitely said, and it's a good possibility that we probably shouldn't have said it. Although I do want to say, we totally have love for our gays. We love you guys. Seriously, like big hearts. And we love being supported. You know what? I'm just going to shut up before it gets any worse. Here's a section of things we probably shouldn't have said.
That's a whole other genre of games that are going to come up. And since you have community games now, I'm sure that the Microsoft folks who still won't let you say that you're openly gay in your profile yet,
yes,
will probably not let through. Could as far as an indie game goes.
My friends and I have been talking nonstop about that whole thing, and we're still upset, by the way. Because I have a lot of friends in the GLBT community that thought it was horrible that Microsoft sided with the people that were trying, that were
You mean the 14-year-old attacking. Boys that were attacking that woman lady?
Yep.
Yeah.
Look, I just think it needs to go both ways. If you're going to chastise somebody and say, okay, for a profile that is openly available to the public, these are some things that you can and cannot say, then you also have to take an active role for that when people make complaints about how they're being treated, because in speech, in a service that you make available, that you put safeguards in, that you say you don't allow harassment on any kind of level, including racial or sexual orientation, that you actually back that up with more than just not letting somebody sign in for an hour and a half.
Mm, I mean,
they've got to be equal. So,
I have to tell you, I was pretty upset. I got banned for an hour because I told somebody over my Gears chat that I was straight, and he was very offended by it. It made me very upset, and I complained, and apparently him and the other three guys complained, and I got banned, and I do not think it is fair. I don't see what the issue is that I said, yes, I'm straight in my bio.
I mean, because if you're going to
play... I mean, it wasn't like I said I love big cock. I mean, it's not like...
Which you do.
It's not like I was inviting
sex.
Here's
the thing. Here's the thing about all of that. And then we can actually get onto the game stuff we want to get to.
I know.
But all here's right. the thing about all of that. If you're going to say that you cannot say in your profile that or you're identified as either bi or straight or gay, then I think that you also cannot say that you're a mom or that you have kids, because that implies also that you've had
sex.
Oh
my God, moms have sex.
And I'm a state senator.
Okay. So if we're going to do that, then I think that you need to only be able to say, you know, that you exist, you are a humanoid being that enjoys to play games electronically. And that should be all you're allowed to say in your profile. Because the whole thing that they said as well, if you say that you're gay, then, you know, then that applies that you have sex with people of your own race. And it's the implication
Not race,
of sex
gender.
And sexual... Well, you know what I mean. But that implies the idea of sexual activity, and it is this... Well, saying that you have children implies that you had sex, because unless you come out and say, I created test tube babies.
But even then, regardless, we are getting off subject. Let's talk
it's
about
a topic.
Games.
Well, it was kind of about games, because it was,
well,
you know,
it was.
Xbox Live
well,
yeah. stuff. Should also check out some of the other shit that we like, because we like a lot of different shit. Like, I like girlgamer.com.
And I like
Little baby
boys.
Ducks. You do like boys.
And girls.
You
but mostly
Birkenstocks.
Boys.
Birkenstocks.
What? Shut up! I love Birkenstocks. Yes. Yes, I do.
And plaid.
What's wrong with plaid?
Nothing.
What? You have a plaid shirt too, bitch.
Yeah, that you tried to steal.
Well, yeah.
It's right. Lavender.
Yeah, it's
What color is your plaid?
Red.
And? You're a lumberjack and you're okay. Anyway, some of the
and
other
And I like the L word.
Well, I like the L word too. That's some good shit.
And I hate the PETA commercials at 2 a.m. Ha! Totally not one, because I don't
Wow. Okay. So, what else should you check out that shit that we like? Oh, I don't know. Pretty much anything Apple makes.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm shilling for Apple again. Damn it. Fucking love my iPad. Anyway, Panda, do you have anything that you want to declare to the people?
I want
talk
to.
Talk to about this episode.
Mm? I want to declare that, that I
love Birkenstocks and plaid. And Indigo Girls.
I don't even know who they are.
Melissa Etheridge is your hero.
Oh my god, I love Melissa Etheridge. Oh my god, am I gay?
We should make a test. No, that would be wrong.
Oh my god, no, I...
Oh. And Ellen. Do you think Portia de Rossi is hot?
I don't... No, I don't... What is... I'd have to see her.
Okay, I'll send you a picture.
Oh my god!
You might be a lesbo.
No, because I like dick too much.
Is that your declaration?
Yes. I disclose that under all these possible lesbian tendencies, that I...
Careful. Hey, wow. That is now recorded for perpetuity.
What?
Are you sure that you want to go with that?
No. Let's cut that out. I like flowers and springtime and first-person shooters. That is what I will disclose.
Okay.
And that, I swear to God, take out the gay stuff. That shit ain't funny.
That shit is funny.
Anyway, because that's all Eshmom needs.
No, and then I finally get an actual voice, and I'm not... And I don't want this to sound like I'm a racist.
Oh, God, here we go. Don't.
I can't help but I have to say this. Because out of the... And let me break it down for you one time. Since this happened, this was 3 days ago. I have written about 6 emails. And I've called about 3 times now. And every person that I have talked to has a foreign accent. I feel like when I talk to them, they're like in a Taj Mahal somewhere in the sunshine and they're all got their burkas on.
Oh, God.
And they're having a happy time at wherever the fuck they are.
The statements that Pandalicious is making right now do not reflect the themes and thoughts of every staff member at the Electric Sisterhood. I digress.
Okay, maybe only 2 of them had foreign accents. I won't say what type of foreign, but they were foreign.
In this segment, we're just plain silly, which happens from time to time on our podcast. If you've listened to it before, you know that sometimes we do take the train to Cuckooville. And this is not one of those times where we avoid the station. No, we pull on in, we stop, we get out, we have lunch. We talk a little bit about Modern Warfare. We talk about this octopus plug thing that really weirds me out in a way. That's at Panda's house. And somehow also end up talking about Lady Gaga and the Green Guy. So we've got a lot of stuff in here. Just take a listen. It we're just silly. For no reason. Well, for reason. Yeah, there's a reason. We're just born that way.
So that's my stuff. What do you got for the people?
I have a game.
No!
I know. God forbid I talk about something other than games,
oh
right?
Oh my god!
And God forbid it not be Modern Warfare 2.
Oh
actually,
my god.
It's not.
Oh,
it's not.
I was about to say, because you've pretty much covered the hell out of MW2.
Man.
Okay.
It has been
there was a pre-post, there was a podcast, and then there was a post-post.
Actually, no, there was a pre-post, there was a show, then there was a annuals, you know, the sales when they reached the 310 million mark on day one alone. Then there was the review, which was really awesome. If you haven't read it, you should. It's probably one of my better pieces.
Yes,
but
it was.
I know. But no. So what I have for people today is actually in something that I'll probably bring up next week in our game guide, our gift guide.
Gift guide! Awesome! You buy some stuff.
For Christmas.
anybody that has a computer and a lot of different gadgets and wires going everywhere and maybe want to clean it up a little bit.
Is it an octopus?
It is not an octopus.
Oh.
Why do you always think that? Have I ever talked about an animal as a solution to anything electronic?
No. Like the surge protector that looks like an octopus.
No, it's not the octopus surge protector. Although those are very good if you want to clean up your cables.
Yeah, I have one. I like it. And it's black. His name's Fluffy.
You would name it. I don't even know why I laugh at that. I'm even remotely surprised.
And then you end up...
Is he the green guy?
No.
Which one's the green thing?
The guy that's green that has the big bug eyes?
Yeah.
That is... Oh, crap. What's his name? I'm blanking on it now.
Never mind, then.
Okay, I'll come back to that. But, yeah, it's right on the tip of my tongue, but he's the assassin guy.
Okay.
I won't ruin it for you. Okay. I mean, since we were talking about Gaga videos...
Yes.
I thought we were going to talk a little bit about that latest one that has hit partial interwebs.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So, Gaga has a new video called Telephone. If you haven't seen it, you need to see it.
Yeah.
If for no other reason, we've decided it proves she doesn't have a penis.
Yep. That girl has a vagina.
Yes.
There's a lot of bikini-esque wear.
Look, she wears a thong.
And there's not enough tucking and duct tape in all the negaverse,
okay,
that would hide a package in a thong.
Okay? I can do some stuff with Final Cut, okay? And you can, you know, make people look kind of, sort of, like they have things or don't have things. I mean, let's face it. We all know about Avatar. You can do great things with computers. But it takes a lot of money. And that's probably more than she would really want to invest. So let's just settle it right now. Lady Gaga does not have a penis because she has no place to hide it until.
Nope. And the video will prove it within the first, 12 seconds.
Yeah, pretty much first 12 seconds. Yeah. She's like, hi, I have on kind of a striped suit. And then, I've been stripped naked and now I don't.
And now all I'm wearing is a thong and a bra.
Yes.
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 Yep. Mm. But good on her.
Yeah,
I think this was her and her, because I think she and the director collaborated on the directing and the writing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure this was her way of saying, fuck you, America, I have a vagina.
Yes, pretty much. Here you go.
There you go. There it is.
And here it is. Ready? There you go. Now leave me alone. I have creative things to do.
Yeah, and she did.
Okay, all right. Yeah, it was very creative. If you haven't seen Telephone, you need to. And Beyonce's in it, too. So I, you know.
And the Pussy Wagon, if you know.
Dude, that was awesome.
Yep.
I need to watch the movie again.
So now we have the two stories melding together, like chocolate and caramel on ice cream.
I fucking love chocolate caramel on ice cream, especially if it's like vanilla bean.
Yes, like that's exactly what I was imagining in my cerebellum.
Is that what you
No, I think that's in the hypothalamus.
Wait, what?
In the brain.
In the brain?
In the hypothalamus.
Oh, okay. All right.
Or just the thalamus.
I mean, if my thalamus the is definitely
cerebral
hyper.
Cortex, cerebellum.
It's in this area of your noggin, is basically what you're saying.
Yeah, or in these nuts.
I knew you were going to do that. Don't ask me how I knew you were going to do that, but I did.
I did that all show.
I knew you guys would do it.
Anyway, that felt good. That felt very good.
Oh my God. That is too much. And now, for your listening pleasure, some of our opinions, because we are chock full of them here
in the land of Esh. And we try to share them with you on each and every podcast. But sometimes we have some opinions that, you know, just don't get enough airtime. So we've gathered up a group, some back when KBD was visiting with us, King Baby Duck, and we talked a little bit about how the DS Lite versus the DSi thing was affecting us, and that we were mostly going back to our DS Lites because the DSi was just not worth our time, as well as talking a little bit about upgrading a PS3. I even think there's some sections in here about one of my visits when I was at CES talking about customization, because let's face it, it's key. I want the hottest gear, but I want it to look like me. So enjoy the bits and bobbles of editorial opinions.
And they often have Wiis and play with them all the time.
The time. And make you want to play with your Wii.
And they will play on the internet with their DSIs. Mm-hmm. Getting closer. Mm-hmm.
Or just DS Lights. Not necessarily DSIs.
Hold on. I hadn't finished my thought. They will have PS3. Well,
I actually heard that a lot of people are turning in their DSIs to get DS Lights and whatnot because they miss being able to play their advanced games.
Well, it's a big chunk. I mean, I think that...
Really?
Yeah, when Nintendo came out with the DSi, I think that in trying to make it lighter, sleeker, that one of the things that they cut off were a lot of people that had been playing their advanced games. You know, the DSi was the first portable system that Nintendo came out with that was very restrictive on what you could play. Because it can
You see, I did not know that you couldn't play the Game Boy Advance games on the
You can't play anything else other than the mini cartridge games and the ones that you download onto memory cards. So it now excludes the Game Boy Advance titles, it excludes the Game Boy titles, and it's the first
one. That's good to know, because I was thinking about buying a DSi, and now... knowing that, I might have to go with the DS Lite.
Yeah, and so there are a lot of people that are going backwards and are going back to the DS Lite so that they get that section of games back. Now, Nintendo has committed that they're going to be bringing a lot of those Game Boy Advance titles to the platform, either as downloadable through the store, but that's going to take years to happen. And
yeah,
so
maybe they might have to listen to the masses and actually put back the Game Boy Advance.
Or at least put some kind of third-party attachable that will allow you to, well, just like they did with a couple of their systems, that allowed you to play some of the older cartridges on that new system. You know, I think if it's small enough, but again... You know, the DSi is designed for a different market of people. The DSi really is designed to go after, supposedly, the people that are going to want to take pictures on the go, send them around on the internet really quickly. And it's not supposed to be designed for the average hardcore portable gamer.
Yeah.
Right.
But anyway, we have digressed. We have
as
things
we
to
often
discuss.
Do. We have lots of stuff to discuss. Yeah, that's all I'm saying there. And then as the heads up thing that I have is I recently upgraded my PS3 hard disk drive because I finally filled the 40 gigger that was in there because I have an original PS3. And the upgrade was really easy, but I have two words of wisdom, really, two points of wisdom for you. Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely get all the save games that you think you want to bring with you to the new system moved onto a USB thumb drive that is formatted for Windows, FAT32 formatted, before you swap out the drive. Everything you read online is going to tell you that you should do that. And there are a couple things that you're going to find that'll be like, and you can just move the hard drive into an enclosure. They're wrong. You can't just move the hard drive into an enclosure. Sony, being as proprietary as they normally are, see, you knew that just sliding the drive out and sliding a new notebook-sized hard drive is going to be too easy. You can take a 2.5-inch hard disk drive. I upgraded my little 40-gigger to a 320. Spin at 7,200 RPM, so she could go way fast. When you format the drive in a PS3, it is an encrypted formatting.
so that when you swap the drive for a new one and it formats that guy, it basically loses the key to the old drive, which means your PlayStation 3 will no longer be able to access that hard drive at all. Yes. So any of the content that you have on there, your downloads from the PSN network and their save games and your existing save games and any media that you put on that hard drive is toast. Now, you also need to sync your trophies, which you can do before you move the hard drive. It's very simple to do because otherwise you will use your trophies because they're stored in a separate place from your save files. So make sure to move whatever save files that you want to a thumb drive. Make sure to back up your trophies online so that when you put in your new drive, your trophies will come back down so you won't miss them and have to play those games over again. Otherwise, the process itself is a couple of screws and maybe 3 minutes of your time. The process went really fast. It was able to format my drive. I had moved my saves that I really, really wanted off to a 2 gigabyte thumb drive before I'd even thought about upgrading the hard drive because I'm paranoid about my information. So I do that from time to time, and I'm glad I did because otherwise I would have been up the creek and I would have lost my Modern Warfare save and my Uncharted 2 save and my Little Big Planet stuff, which really would have pissed me off. So just a note from me to you. If it's getting close to time to put that new drive in your PS3, make sure that you get a good, good copy of your save games and that you sync your trophies online so that they'll all be there when you come back. Otherwise, you'll be up the creek, no paddle.
Oi.
So more on CES.
Okay.
The other big thing that I walked away from is that customization of your personal tech. It seems like the industry has really realized that, you know what? People like their personality to show through the things that they have and they buy. Because
People like their personalities. Who knew?
Well, you know, outside of the obvious jokes there, it's really true, though. I mean, think about it. Right now, I'm working on a laptop that has a vinyl decal on it that I absolutely love.
Is this still the chickie from the one that you had on it for E3?
Nope.
Oh, you changed it.
Yep.
See?
Now I've got Gangsta Snow White holding apple. Oh, it's cool. I'll show you a picture of it later.
All right.
I've got a skin that's a custom skin on the back of my iPhone. I've got, you know, all kinds of decals all over my backpack.
Everything.
You know, and I've got a custom skin running on my operating system. I like design, I like fashion, and I like my gadgets to not look like everybody else's gadget on the planet. You know, this is my piece, this is my Mac, this is my iPhone, and you can tell that it belongs to Ninja Sista because of how it looks. And I don't have a problem dropping $30 for a skin, basically a vinyl sticker for my iPhone, if I feel like it reflects,
me.
And it seems like the industry has finally realized that people like being individuals. And yeah, they want the tech that everybody else has, but they want theirs to kind of be theirs.
Right.
And so customization was huge. Like, I spent some time running through Central Hall and running through the iLounge, and one of the first things that I saw was that Music Skins, of MusicSkin.com fame, very, very much, you know, Jello Skins, but with licensed imagery from musical artists, had a press conference because they were announcing that they were able to work out a deal with Apple Corps and license the Beatles imagery.
I saw that Twitter picture with the Beatles stuff. I saw that.
Yeah. And so, you know, we were able to actually get our hands on some samples. So I appreciate Music Skins for that because I've now got Abbey Road, the album cover, on the back of my iPhone. And
that's the one with them walking on the crosswalk?
Yep.
Ooh, I like that one.
You know, and it's a really cool thing. I mean, no, it's a glorified sticker.
that's okay. It's a glorified sticker that makes it pretty well known that, you know what, my iPhone isn't just the plain black iPhone that everybody else has on the planet. It's my iPhone, and oh yeah, it tells you a little bit about me. I like the Beatles.
You effing love the Beatles.
I do effing love the Beatles. You know, and you know, Skins wasn't the only thing. All kinds of custom bags. And bags for the ladies that were not necessarily pink, brown, or purple. Thank you, God. Jesus, for hearing us on this. Lots of companies had some great bags to display. Iskin had some amazing looking bags that use the Nishisaki, which is the design of the old Japanese flag, with all different kinds of designs. Very kind of Harajuku girls.
Mm-hmm.
Without being Harajuku girls. Yeah.
Right.
So they had lots of bags, including one that was a vinyl bag that was a rounded corner zip top, so it was a little bit more than a glorified sleeve for your laptop. Love Ooh. That bag. That one was neat. Speck, who actually had all kinds of customization things going on during the show, including bringing in some of the artists from the Arts Project group to actually paint what would become a new skin for the iPhone and for the BlackBerry for them during the show. So they had two artists together working on a canvas, painting at different times, and the finalized painting they were going to turn into a digital screen for their new fabric and hard shell mesh cases. You know, so lots of creativity going on there. Which is
I'm not very surprised that customization has taken such a strong step in the industry. I mean, I've written a couple articles, you know, like when Sony, Nintendo, or you know, Microsoft have gone and changed the color of a console. I think I talked about this and how I was saying that most people nowadays are customizing their consoles. Are getting the special edition consoles that are a different color or might have something different going on them because not everybody wants the same looking consoles in their gaming room, movie room, fun room.
Absolutely. You know, you want the technology, but you want it to, you know, look like yours. It's just like when you get a car, you might get red, but you are going to put things internally in your car that make that your space and you. And it just seems like on the personal tech side, so not just necessarily on the big ticket items, but on the smaller ticket items, it seems like more and more manufacturers are getting that, you know what, it's okay to let our user base design things. It's okay to open up our libraries, and it's okay to open up our products to having different imagery on it that maybe we don't create. And maybe we get something out of a community because of it, you know. And I had written about earlier this week that I think one of the people that are really getting that my tech is my tech and my custom thing is my custom thing was Monster. I spent a lot of time with those guys this week. And what they're doing with the Beats line and really creating headphones that are specifically tuned for specific types of music so that they speak to specific demographics.
Yeah, but then, I mean, what if you're one of those eclectic people who likes a lot of different music? I mean, then you would want to have, or rather, they would expect you to get several different headphones.
Mm-hmm.
For several
And if you're that much of an audiophile and that eclectic, you already have several different headphones for that specific reason.
True. Okay.
You know, if you're just an all-around, hey, I listen to everything, then the pop music set's perfect. You get lows, you get crisps, but you don't get driving bass. If those are kind of your all-around great headset. But if you are an audiophile, then first of all, you're a hard sell on an in-ear earbud. And second of all, you more than likely have two or three sets of over-ears for different types of music that you listen to. Because you get different response from them.
Mm.
You know, so I think that customization moving forward is going to be very key. And those companies that are flexible and move with it are going to be very successful over the next year. I think you're going to see a lot more creative designed laptops, laptop skins, different options for color customizations. You're going to see more and more companies coming out with various cases that you can then enclose your tech in. So you can really start to make it yours and a reflection of you. And I don't think that there's anything more exciting than that.
No. So I look forward to seeing what customization will have to offer us in the future.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So lots more to come as we get more things in from various companies, because I have talked to a lot of people to try and get some stuff in so we can bring you guys more hands-on reviews with these things. We will definitely let you know what's up with what.
What?
And now to round out the episode is the filler. Wait, no, the meat. Because we don't want to say this is filler, because this is not Naruto. Okay, this is awesome sauce that's just covered in awesome sauce. So kicking off this section, so we have a little bit of a Xenocore from Ultimate Quest who had stopped by talking about some things for our gift guide for the holiday from last year, and was talking about what I think is one of the most excellent series of anime out there, Robotech, love you, Beckle, and talking about the Robotech saga. And then we just dive into what we do best here in the Land of S, which is talk about games. And then we talk about more games. And did I mention that we talk about games? Because there's just game stuff all up in this piece. So if you've been listening up to now, you don't want to turn it off. This is where we get to the nitties and the gritties. Possibly we mention titties. It's game stuff.
Also, I'm blanking on this last one. Crap. And for the person who grew up in the 80s and, you know, was pretty much a jock or cheerleader the whole time and didn't really watch any TV, you can also get them the Robotech saga. The whole damn thing.
Just all of Robotech.
All of it.
Just all of it.
Open up your wallet and get them all of Robotech.
The main reason I say that is because they're some suits here and there are trying to continue the story. If anybody has been on Hulu recently, they saw a partially CG done a continuation of the story after the Invid invasion. Yeah,
it's really? Good.
Yes. And I'll give you guys the link so you can use it in your show notes if you wish. But ever since I saw that movie, it's like, really? And they actually did a good job with it, too. They tied up all this. It was like the modern Star Trek for the old Star Trek fan is how I felt when I watched that. It was awesome.
Kick ass. Okay. Maybe
I would go more into detail, but I'm trying to keep it short because Lord knows I'll ramble.
So, I mean, besides the fact that I've been just engorged in Mass Effect 2, I did take a peek over in PS3 land earlier today.
You did?
Yes, I did. And they were
things over there.
Well, for one, they made Flow available for free as a download, but I think it ended earlier today, actually. And by the time you guys hear this,
it would have been Saturday.
Yeah.
Because the deal was good until midnight Saturday night, and it started midnight Friday night.
Yes.
But I tweeted the heck about that. So if you missed it, people, you really missed it.
So, I mean, I managed to pick that up this morning.
Nice. Because I love Flow. Flow is great.
I think I played it once over in, Ninja Land.
Yes,
so.
And Hot Mess did too.
Yes. So, so I managed to pick that up. And I also picked up the demo of Heavy Rain. Because at first when it was released on the PSN, you had to have a code.
It is. I love how everyone, it's really funny because not every character interacts with every character.
True.
Like, you see Norman really only ever interacting with Ethan. Ethan's really only interacting hardcorely anyway, but besides Sean, with Madison.
Mm-hmm.
And Scott doesn't interact with, well, he goes.
He can to, interact he, with.
Well, yes, yeah. But he interacts with Lauren, but she's not really a main character. But, I mean, Scott will interact, depending on your situation, will come across or be in the same area as Norman.
Mm-hmm.
But he never interacts with Norman. And he never interacts with Madison either. You know, he... But I know
they're on a different tangent of the story, though. So I don't know that there's a way, really, that it would make sense for Scott to interact.
Well, no, I'm just saying, because there's that one area when you go to see Manfred, where if you don't do everything correctly, you end up in the police station. And you talk to Blake. I don't know if you did that right or wrong.
I talked to Blake.
Then you did it wrong, because...
I missed the phone that she picked up.
For real?
I got everything else.
You want to know what got me my first time? The door. I got everything but the door.
You didn't get the door?
I didn't get the door. But regardless, if you do it correctly and you don't leave your prints, you never meet with Blake. But that's the only time that Scott even interacts with any of the other characters. Like I said, Madison is interacting with Ethan, and Ethan is interacting with Norman. But Scott never interacts with any of them. Not even to be like, oh, you have Ethan? Let me talk to him, because I'm, you know...
We're going to need to cut this piece out.
Oh.
Because by pretty much saying Scott never interacts with anybody else, you've pretty much given away that he's the outsider.
Well, no. No. Not necessarily. Well, now that you've gone and said it. Because, I mean, I guess. All right. I mean,
you said the whole thing. Ethan interacts with Madison. Madison with Ethan.
Well, he does.
With Ethan. Jaden possibly with Madison. But Scott doesn't interact with anybody.
No. Well, he does.
So one of these things is not like the other.
All right, fine. Then let's cut that part out.
But
so let's go back to...
just how good it is and how unique it is.
Yeah. And I love it.
I do. I love it. All right, so last question, then. Okay. With the ending of God of War 3, because by now I'm presuming that you guys have finished God of War 3,
yes,
so this shouldn't be too bad of a spoiler. So, when you watch all the way through the credits, you end up seeing the cliff that Kratos was on.
Yep.
He's gone.
Yes.
There's a trail of blood.
Yes.
People have said that this is the end of the God of War trilogy. Not that it's the end of Kratos. It's the end of this story.
Right. End of that story, but...
Do you think that there's going to be another story that Kratos will be a part of? Because let's face it, the gods are gone. I mean, when you finish the game, all the gods of Olympus, with the exception of whatever Athena has turned into, are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Hope has been let out into the world. Kratos stabs himself with the Sword of Olympus, which we all know last time he was stabbed with it, drained him of all of his immortal powers, made him a man again after he was a god. So he stabs himself with it again, drains all the power that he had in him back into the sword. Last thing we see, he's no longer there off the cliff, still got that big gaping hole in him, but we know he survived those holes before. Do you think that this is the end of Kratos, or just a new beginning? I want to know what you think, and then I want to know what you hope.
Okay, so what I think, seeing the end of God of War 3 and seeing the blood trail, because believe it or not, and people are going to feel kind of cheated when I admit this. So when I got God of War 3, I had Hot Mess here, and I had Bramimond, who also writes for our site here, and we actually played the game in sets of. You know, Hot Mess would play
you played
for
it in
hours.
The round. You basically tagged each other out.
So we each played about a third of the game. I did a lot of the puzzles. Well, until the ending puzzle part, but you know what that is. Yeah. I think Bremwan had that. And by the time Bremwan was playing through it, I actually fell asleep for part of the Pandora box fight. Like the box. So there were a lot of puzzles that I didn't see. And when I woke up, they were like, you totally missed out on all this shit. And I'm like, whoa. But I mean, when I did see the ending fight with Zeus, and I mean, do I want to believe that Kratos just got up, shook it off, and is off to go find Athena? I'd like to say that, but I don't know what else he could possibly do. I mean, like you said, the gods are gone. The Titans are pretty much gone, too. The world as we have known it in God of War is no more. What else could the man possibly do? I mean, he's kind of fucked up the world. And he doesn't have the kind of powers to recreate it. So, I mean, I don't know where else he could possibly fit. It's not like he got his family back. It's not, there aren't too many humans left around who can procreating.
The world has been fucked up. The world needs to be unfucked.
Yes, but what
if there still has to be more mythical things out there?
Maybe, but I don't know.
I mean, because Athena is not gone.
Yes, I know. So, I mean, I guess I'd want to know what she is.
And she's kind of pissed off at Kratos right now for not giving her back hope.
Well, no. I think, believe it or not, like, I didn't understand that whole hope thing. Like, I think Pandora was the encasing of hope.
Well, here's what happened. So, Zeus put the power to kill a god.
Yeah, in the box. And Athena put hope in the box with it.
And when Kratos first opened the box, the evils went out and Kratos got the hope. He just didn't know it because he didn't know there was more than one thing in the box. So the hope was
inside of him all along.
Right. So Ares released all the evils. The hope went into Kratos, which is why at the end of the game he was able to defeat Ares. So he's had the hope
all along.
All along.
Okay.
You know, it's like having the power to go home all along.
Well, then if he's got hope, then he's hope for the future. So that's probably why.
But he didn't know that he had it. And Pandora was the embodiment of that hope. Because you got to remember, the box was forged out of those fires that encased the power to kill a god. So Pandora was the last bit.
Right.
Probably that he needed to ignite the flame of hope.
That makes sense. Okay.
Okay.
So that's, I mean, I was kind of thinking along those lines. So, okay. Right. So, I mean, obviously, since he did not return the powers to Athena, he didn't return hope to her, then he still has hope.
But he released it into the world when he stabbed himself.
Right. So now the world, that's right. He did. He released it all into people who wouldn't know what to do with it. That's
so
right.
So the world has hope. And so I think the message they're trying to get is that the world has hope, and that hope is Kratos.
Well, the hope was. I mean, he stabbed himself, so now the world has it. So maybe now something else will come out of the woodwork to stand in the same kind of position.
Right, because he didn't destroy the evils. The evils were let back out into the world.
Yep.
So now, now hope is there, exactly. And now,
so maybe now someone has to go and get all the evils and put them back in a box.
Right. See, that's where I'm thinking. I think that's the next thing for Kratos is he's got to stuff that shit back into the box because he let it out.
Maybe. We'll see. I mean,
if you're going to do something,
if you're going to do a story, they say best stories start with one, you know, when you come back to where you start. That tends to be a good sign of a good story. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, obviously in the first, he opened the box and it got released and then all that crazy shit happened. So in literature, he'd have to go back and undo all that and put it all back. Do I think they'll do that? I don't know. And at the same time, I mean, could they do it and do it well? They could. Do I think they're going to take the route? No. I think they're going to celebrate that God of War 3 was the shit. They're going to drink themselves crazy and think of another idea, and if that falls flat, they might go back to this universe. But otherwise, I think they're going to put it on the shelf for a while.
I think that they need to put Kratos on the shelf for a little bit, and I think that people need to kind of ruminate and appreciate the trilogy. You know, one of the things I want to do is go back through and play 1, 2, and 3 in order now, because there's a big gap between all of them.
Mm.
Because I definitely see, like, there's a little detached for me in 3 just because Kratos seems just to be a big, big ball of angry. I mean, typically he's been a big ball of badass.
Well,
you know,
an angry with flavor of lusty with a flavor of, you know, inquisitiveness. And it just seems like in 3, he's just a big ball of, I will cut you into pieces because I can fuck you. I'm Kratos. So yeah. I kind of would like to run through all of them again in sequence to kind of appreciate the whole story. I mean, because we've had all kinds of different hands and different ideas and different storytellers throughout the story. So I'd like to play it through as one joined thing. I don't want God of War 3 to be the last thing that Kratos ever does, because I don't think that it's the best final picture for that character. And I don't care if it's just like a little side game that they make I can't believe I'm going to say this, that's on the PSP. I feel like there's a little bit left more to do, and I think that tie-up, like you said, for the Mark of Literature, is, you know, all those evils exist out in the world. All those evils exist out in the world. They all exist because of Kratos. And to finally sum it up, if he still is alive, it's his responsibility to get them back in the box. Because otherwise, he's no better than the gods inflicting pain and suffering on people willy-nilly if he doesn't do anything about it. And I think that would kind of be a good, really, truly fitting final end, and that would be the moment where an oracle comes up to him and, you know, says, you
what
know...
What oracles? Everybody's, like, dead.
Not all of the oracles are dead. He didn't kill that old lady bitch that put the ashes on him to begin with. And so I think it would be the fitting thing that if he gets all of the evils back into the box, that an oracle, you know, appears, and... I would like for it to be a spirit oracle and it be his wife, that final forgiveness has been made and remove the ashes from his body, and then that's when he dies as a human. Redeemed. Because I want Kratos to get redemption, and I want Dante to get stuck in hell. Because he's a douche.
Yes, Dante needs to stay in hell. Now, do I feel like Dante should... I mean, do I feel like Kratos should be redeemed? I mean, okay.
I want Kratos to be redeemed.
I mean,
because he got tricked into fucking
tricked into
his life
tricked
over.
Tricked into killing his family
by his brother, half brother.
Yes, but I mean, all the people and that he killed up. That weren't family.
But you know, that's war.
Okay? So I mean, so even if he didn't kill his family, he was still gonna go to hell for killing people.
Right, but he wouldn't have been stuck with their ashes on his body to wear that shame all of his life. With blame.
I can understand the forgiveness from his wife and his child.
Yep.
Do I fully feel like he should be redeemed of everything? I mean, he opened the box. That's his mess. He needs to clean that up.
Yep. And I think if he cleans that up and he's taken out all of the gods and he gave hope back to the world, he should get his ashes off his body. That's what I feel. If he does all that. Now, if he leaves the evils out there, no, he should still have to wear them.
What color would he be if he didn't have the ashes?
Flesh tone. Remember, he was white dude. Spartan. Oh,
that's right. Oh. Okay. That's right, because he wouldn't be a ghost of Sparta anymore.
Got it.
Okay. Then maybe. So, I mean, if anyone out there who's worked on this and has no idea what they should possibly do.
Santa Monica Studios.
if you listen to us and you think we have some good ideas, you know.
Hey,
you can talk to us. You don't mind
giving me ideas. We'll, you know, you can employ us. We're employable.
I don't mind doing a voice of some bitch who dies because, you know, they're famous. I'm just saying.
See? Told you. chock full of awesome sauce. I think we're going to have to name something new because awesome sauce just isn't enough. It's like got a side of awesome with it. Just like all of the stuff on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use the short address, which is esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. That short address will bounce you to the long ones. You can check out all the stuff that we write within the week. You can subscribe to our podcast in iTunes, which I highly recommend. That way you can get every single episode fresh when it's right out of the internet oven in all of its glory, as well as subscribe to the other podcasts in our little network. So that's Boston Bass Brigade at bostonbassbrigade.com. They too are in iTunes, as well as Geek Aggro, which is in iTunes, which is co-hosted by our very own Deuces Wild, while Boston Bass Brigade is co-hosted by our very own King Baby Duck. So make sure that you're checking all that stuff out. If you're not, you can find us in just about any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, which is amazing. We are all over the internet. You can check out our portal, landofesh.com, landofesh.com. On the website, we've got all the content from all the pieces of our network, as well as a big old spotlight on our magazine, which is currently on sale. You can get the August issue now with a feature on Final Fantasy XIV. Yeah, you know you want to see that. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's what's up. So make sure that you visit the site, that you go ahead and get that order in. It's only $5.99, people, for a full color 28 pages of awesome. And then, if you really want to be my friend, which you know you do, you can go ahead and get a subscription. Get 6 issues, $36, delivered to your door. And if you get the subscription and you're in the U.S., you can get both the print version and value-added PDF. So that way you can take that sucker along with just about any mobile device that you have, view it at your leisure. It's up to you, but it can be your pleasure for simply $36 per subscription. It's a deal. Go ahead. Buy that. Buy that right now. And then holler at me. You can holler at all of us on Twitter. Make sure that you're keeping up with other things that we're doing in the Land of Esh, because we got some big things moving and shaking, moving and grooving. I'm telling you, we're blowing up. Outside of that, we are on Twitter. We're on Facebook. I mean, the places you can find us are ridiculous. So make sure that you're doing that. Let us know what you want to know about. Ask us questions. We're happy to answer. Now, normally, I would do a shit that I like, but why should I get all the fun when there's actually a shit I like that both Pan and I did that never aired? So now you can listen to that instead.
What about shit? Can we do shit we like?
Oh, we did really do fast? Shit we like, but we could do shit we like. What do you like?
Well, I actually, it's not really something that I like per se because I'm calling somebody out.
Uh-oh.
Yep. Got to do it.
Uh-oh.
So, I mean, I've taken a listen to RPG Grinders, and I think they're funny, and I like what they do, but they friend me on Skype. They friend you on Skype, but they don't friend me on Skype. So I don't want to plug someone who's not supportive of the panda.
Oh, are your little feelings hurt? Somebody friended me first for, like, a first.
Yep. I'm very upset.
You are... So
I'm just so kidding,
selfish.
But add me, please, pretty please.
Do you want to put sugar on top? So it's not so much shit we like as much as people I want to put.
Oh,
on
and top. I like and I like video games. Duh,
duh. I'm gonna go with a big hell fucking duh.
Yeah, yeah. That's shit I like. Oh, and I like and I like board game nights where you get drunk. I like those. If you guys can have them. Do it. It's so much fun. Uber fun.
Okay.
Well, what about your shit you like? What do you like?
As far as shit that I like, I'm going to have to go out there and say right now, I'm totally all over Klondike bars.
Like, oh, that fuck is, yeah.
Klondike bars are the shit. And they happen to be some shit.
Klondike sandwiches. Like. Have you seen those?
I haven't had any of the Klondike ice cream sandwiches. I'm old school. I'm rocking the classic milk chocolate square, but I gotta tell you, it's some shit I like. All right, so there you have it. I'm gonna have to say that I am Ninja Sister. I appreciate your ears. Look forward to talking more game stuff with you next week with Pandalicious. And folks, I'm out of here. Peace.
Don't be laughing at lesbians. Lesbians are the shit.
I'm not laughing at lesbians. I'm laughing at you going, oh shit, am I a lesbian? That's funny.
Well, I
bitch,
like
I went to a lesbian wedding. Hello.
I know, but I'm just thinking I have flannel. I like Melissa Etheridge.
You have Birkenstocks? Yeah,
I have Birkenstocks. I do. I love the L word. I love the lesbian. I think I just love lesbian drama.
I think you do too.